It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Shearn. Joe Auriemma will be joining us in just a little bit. Just a reminder, everybody, you can call into the podcast at 646-487-3668. Once again, that number is 646-487-3668. If you want to hear your voice with mine and Joe's during the podcast, you could call up, you give us your comment or question, tell me I stink, whatever you want to tell me, or Joe. We don't care. We don't mind. Because Lord knows we've been wrong about some things. But that's why we do this. You know, we put ourselves out there. We go on that tiniest, skinniest tree branch limb. Sometimes it breaks. Sometimes it holds us up. You could also email the show at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. That's off the wall, all one word, at yesnetwork.com. If you call in or if you email, we will definitely get you on the show. So if you want your voice heard, do one of those two things. You call in or you could email us. And welcome once again, everyone. It's time to get down to business. And I know it's football season. I know basketball and hockey are going on. But baseball always rules the New York area. It always does. Especially when the Giants and Jets are having a little bit of issue with their season. But they've gotten back on track, both teams. The Jets, a couple of wins in a row. They could get another one this week. The Giants beat the Cowboys for the season sweep. We'll get to that in a second. First, the Yankees. Big trade. Ian Kennedy, gone to the Diamondbacks. Phil Koch, Austin Jackson, gone to the Tigers. Who do the Yankees get back? Curtis Granderson. Some people think too much. Some people think it's fine because Michael Dunn was taken out of the deal on the Yankees' point of view. Joe will weigh in on this. What do you get in Granderson? You get a guy that hit 249 last year, but he had 30 home runs, so he hits for power. Short porch for Granderson out in right field. He takes care of the left field quandary that the Yankees are in. The Yankees could still sign Johnny Damon because Granderson by trade is a center fielder. But I'm thinking that Joe Girardi is going to put this guy anywhere in the outfield and he's going to flourish. So if you look at it that way, it's a good move for the Yankees. But what happens next? Do the Yankees still need Melky Cabrera or Nick Swisher if they bring Johnny Damon back? Melky or Swisher could be the odd man out here. What about Brett Gardner? You know, between Gardner and Cabrera, they got the same amount of numbers. Not the home run production that Granderson gave, but they had a better average combined than Granderson last year. And the Yankees have a ring. So did they need Granderson? Should they have taken Austin Jackson, who has been their, blue chip top prospect the past couple of years, and maybe put a package together to get Roy Halladay instead of Granderson? Jackson is one of the names that Toronto was throwing around there to bring Halladay to the Yankees. But instead, the Yankees get Curtis Granderson. Now, you look at this, you can't really complain about the move. They addressed one of the issues they had. They needed outfield help. Granderson adds speed. Granderson adds good defense. And he adds even more pop to a lineup that needs absolutely no more pop. Although if you lose Hideki Matsui to free agency, Granderson, again, looks good there. And he's a proven major leaguer. That's the thing. That's the thing you have to look at here. Austin Jackson may be a blue chip top prospect. He's done nothing in the majors. Phil Koch, I'm very sorry to see him go. Been tight with Koki since he was in Trenton. After the postseason, though, the writing was on the wall. He really wasn't brought into a game unless it was a mop-up situation. Damaso Marte was really the left-handed specialist as the postseason started to unfold for the Yankees. He's a great kid. I still think he has a huge upside, and I'm sure the Tigers think so as well, and that's why they agreed to this trade. I just say good luck to Coke, and I hope he flourishes in Detroit or wherever his final destination may be, because it's still the offseason, anything could happen. But I think Coke is a very serviceable left-hander. Even though he gave up those back-to-back home runs in Game 5 in Philly in the World Series, you know, you're under a microscope when you play in the World Series. And there's no, you know, bigger magnifying point when you give up two solo shots and it turns out to be the difference in the game. So that's what everybody focuses on. But they shouldn't, because I still think he's a very serviceable left-handed pitcher in the major leagues. Good luck to him. Same thing goes for Ian Kennedy. He goes to the Diamondbacks. I asked AAA pitching coach for the Yankees down in Scranton, hey, give me the one performance this season, meaning 2009, that was an eye-opener for you. He gave me Ian Kennedy. So, you know, people might say this is a, we got rid of Kennedy deal, but I know he had some issues the year he was up. Not really taking, you know, his appearances the way he should have taken them in, like, the New York media's eyes. Excuse me. But he's the guy, especially in the National League, who I think will be okay. Talk more about the Yankees. How about the Mets? Alex Cora, $2 million, really? This, I mean, you could have, as Anthony Reamer told me from Newsday, Cora is somebody you can have waited for. You could have waited for him. Could have waited till spring training to lock up Cora. $2 million, they got Chris Coast. So far, if the Mets are trying to make a splash in the free agent area, it's a tadpole jumping into the ocean. Omar's got to wake up. Johan Santana and the cast of mid to low tier pitchers behind him is the Mets' problem. I know they need position players. I know. We'll get into the Mets even more. I got plenty to talk about with the Mets. I got to get to some other things here. The Giants went over the Cowboys. We're going to talk about that. It means nothing if they don't beat the Eagles. The Jets, they're back. Last week's podcast, I told you this would happen. I told you the Jets would do this to you, Jet fans. Getting your hopes back up. And over the next 2 weeks, they can get even higher. It's possible. Joe and I will break down the entire NFL playoff picture. And since Joey and I are from New Jersey, the Jersey Shore on MTV is killing me. It's killing me. There's one person from New Jersey on the show, and yet every stereotype on that show is branded on everyone that says they're from New Jersey. I got news for you. Look at the hometowns of these people. Start branding other places with those stupid stereotypes. All right, we're going to welcome in Joe Oriema when we come back. Much more to talk about, as I just mentioned, here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com. Come on back!
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. I am Joe Oriema, and with me is Chris Sheeran. See how I just flipped everything? Flipped the script.
I was a little long-winded. I'm sorry in that monologue, but there was a lot to talk about. What's going on?
A lot to talk about. And first things first, because we are the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network, let's talk about a little winter meetings.
We can do that right after I say this, Joe. Yes. Just want to remind everybody, if you want to get involved in the podcast, you could call us at 646-487-3668 or email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. If you don't want to be heard, but you still want to be seen, you could send an email. So, Joe, as having said that, like Larry David said in the last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, every time I say having said that, I have to think of that. But go ahead. What were you
going to say? Mocha Joe!
Mocha Joe!
You know, yesterday I was very skeptical of a Curtis Granderson trade, being that it was a 4-for-1. I didn't like the fact that Michael Dunn was included in the deal. Hard-throwing lefty who was a converted position player. You know, my whole thing is they pulled him off the table and they still got it done, literally. And now it became a 3-for-1 where, in my eyes, no offense to Phil Koch or Ian Kennedy, but was Ian Kennedy really going to be a big factor in the Yankees' future? And Phil Koch, look, he's a great guy, great story.
I think what did him in, and I think what made him expendable, and I'm sure you're going to agree with this, is the complete and utter domination of left-handed batters, making them look silly in the postseason DeMaso Marte.
Yeah.
He just kind of like, there was a switch that was flipped, and he was unbelievable. He had that one bad out against Minnesota in the ALDS where he walked 2 in a row.
Yeah.
But then after that, Joe, what did he do wrong?
And that's the whole thing. He became expendable, and now by keeping Dunn, you know, he could be that second lefty coming out of the bullpen. They don't even need to go out and get a Mike Gonzalez type. So they protect one guy. And in the end, in my opinion, it was basically Austin Jackson for Curtis Granderson, and I make that trade 100% of the time.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what people, you know, they see Austin Jackson, and you know, all you do is you hear about him. I mean, we update him on BPTV. We do that all the time.
Right.
Every Sunday, we make it a point to show everybody the top prospects in the organization and how they're doing on the farm. Jackson, a very solid AAA player, very solid minor league player.
All I have to say is, last thing's millage.
You never know what they're going to develop into in the major leagues, if they develop into anything. Curtis Granderson
is not only a proven
major league player, Joe, but he's only 28 years old. That's the thing you have to look at here. He's young. It's not like the Yankees traded all these young guys for, and Koch's, what, 27?
Yeah, 27.
He's going to be 26, 27 years of age.
Kennedy's
25. So they got a 28-year-old player for some, you know, mid-20s players. It's not like they went out and they got a 34-year-old player who's at the end of his rope.
A guy who's regarded as one of the better center fielders, both defensively and offensively, in Major League Baseball. Mind you, his numbers did slip a little bit last year, and he does strike out a lot.
And the Yankees got a lot faster, too.
Yes. This is a guy who he's 2 years removed from a .302 average and 20s across the board, you know.
If you keep Gardner, that is.
Yeah. Well, and this also gives the Yankees some leverage now where they can go to Johnny Damon and Scott Boras and say, hey, you want to try to strong-arm us for a 2-year, 3-year deal? Sorry. We could easily put Melky Cabrera out in left field, and we'll be satisfied with it.
Yeah, and Gardner's your fourth outfielder.
And that's it. And you know what?
And you won with Melky and Gardner last year, so why not try it again?
And now,
and you upgrade Damon with Granderson.
And they can
say, that's the way you got to look at it.
And they can say to Johnny, if you truly do want to come back, then you have to do it on our terms.
But the one thing the Yankees took care of their outfield worries. And they also took care of Andy Pettitte.
Well, and that's one thing that they said they wanted to go into winter meetings. Both sides wanted to make this a seamless and quick signing. And it looks like they've done that. And he gets a bit of a bump from last year. Even though his base salary was only $5.5 million, with incentives, he gained, you know, he made $11 million last year. So,
right. So
it's about $11.75, $12 million from what we're hearing, and it's official now.
And it's deserved. He went 4-0 with a 3.52 ERA and 5 postseason starts, and 3 of those starts clinched the ALDS, the ALCS, and the World Series.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
You know, there were people in the New York area with bigger shows than this one who thought the Yankees were going to a Game 7 with Pettit on the hill in Game 6.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't say that.
I.
You didn't say
you
that.
You have to be very confident when Andy Pettit took the hill to try to clinch. You know, this guy has just proven to be clutch time and time again, and you had to feel good about it.
All right. Let's move on to the Mets, who are, I am calling the clueless Mets at this point because, you know, Alex Cora, that's your first signing, and you give him $2 million. He's a backup.
I know.
He's a backup. You could have had him for like $500,000 by spring training. He's someone you put on the back burner.
You know, with all the talk of you know, Matt Holliday and Jason Bay, I said it to you yesterday. That I really think their top two priorities should be John Lackey and Benji Molina. Those are the two priorities because rarely do you get a catcher of that quality who's a good defensive catcher who can hit 25 to 30 home runs a year and is pretty good at the plate. I mean, he's Jose Molina, you know, times 25 because he can hit. And John Lackey is a perfect guy to be right behind Johan Santana in the rotation. You have guys like Mike Pelfrey and John Main and Oliver Perez behind Santana. It's a joke.
Here's my argument, and I just brought up the Cardinals roster. Okay, this is my argument to the Mets. In the National League, if you have two lockdown starters, if you have a one and a two with a very viable third starter, you're not going through a lot of tough lineups in the National League.
No.
And I know the Mets need another bat. Don't get me wrong. I know they need that. But let's take a look at the powerful Cardinals before Matt Holliday. Okay? Who is the only guy you feared in that lineup? It's Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
You got Julio Lugo? He an issue? Tyler Green?
No.
Jason LaRue? Yadier Molina?
And really, I mean, Ludwig is
Colby
good.
Rasmus?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Ludwig is good. But, you know, they are in desperate need.
The Mets need starting pitching.
You're right.
How many?
Pitching wins championships.
Pitching wins championships. You need John Lackey. You need someone else as well.
My whole thing is with the Mets is that, look, Omar Minaya, you see that the Yankees win the championship. You have a devoted fan base of 3 million strong.
Got a brand new ballpark, too.
And a brand new ballpark coming to the games. And in the first year of that brand new ballpark, it was a big disappointment, where that ballpark was empty toward the end of the year. The Yankees win a championship in the first year of their new ballpark. You need to show your fan base that you're going to come back and improve this squad. And they needed to do it strong, right out of the gate. And again, the Yankees steal the back page covers with the Granderson signing and the Pettit signing, and they're not done yet. And everybody knows it. And that's the difference between the Wilpons and the Steinbrenners. Right there.
It's like apples and oranges.
It's right there.
It really is. And you know, Met fans have every right and every reason to be. If I was a Met fan, I'd be livid. I'd be going through the. I'd be screwing myself into the ceiling right now, because you're not showing me anything, Omar Minaya. Nothing. Nothing. Now watch. I'll make a big deal like right after I get done taping this. But you're not showing me anything now. As of this second, you're not showing me a damn thing. You know, you got to do something. You got to show me something.
I mean,
you got to show me John Lackey.
Think about the holes that they have to fill on this team. They need, you know.
But, Joe, I'm a firm believer that if the Mets go out there and get John Lackey, who is one of the gutsiest pitchers in the major leagues, you saw him in that Yankee series where the bases were loaded and Socha was taking him out.
He was not happy.
He said, this is my game.
Yeah.
You know, other guys would have begged out. Somebody come in and get. He said, I want, this is my game.
He's a competitor.
That's a guy you want on the hill. That's a guy you want behind Johan Santana. That guy. That's who you need behind Johan Santana. You want me on this wall? You need me on this wall. Go out and do something.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, see, this is what I love about the New York area. I mean, there's just plenty to talk about all the time because baseball never stops.
It's 365 now, Chris.
Baseball never stops. But when we come back, do a little football. How about that, Joe? Once again, the number for the podcast, 646-487-3668. And the email, offthewall@yesnetwork.com. It's Joe Auriemma. It's Chris Sheeran. It's the Off the Wall podcast. And we're back right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. It's time to get into the NFL. Four games left. Playoff picture time. And if you were painting said playoff picture, there would be some gold, some purple, a little bit of red, blue, yellow, orange.
All right, we get it.
Yeah.
A lot of colors.
The Saints and Vikings are in. I mean, the Saints clinch a bye with a win this week. The Vikings clinch a playoff berth with a win this week. The Vikings play Cincinnati at home. The Saints have the Falcons on the road. But we'll talk about that. We'll get into all the playoff, the whole picture in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we want to talk about the locals, and that's the Giants and the Jets. And we'll start with the Giants. Getting off the deck this past week at home against the Cowboys, picking up the season sweep, playing like they actually know how to play football again.
They look like they cared.
All the lineup changes. Yep. Might have lit some fires under some guys. You know, these guys are prideful. These guys, you know, and when you're going through the motions every week and you're still a starter and nothing has changed, you know, you really have nothing to play for. You don't. But when that starting position is taken away from you, you feel like you have something to prove again. And the Giant defense, although it didn't play a perfect game, I mean, the secondary is still a train wreck, but it's injured.
When can't cover Brown is still in your secondary, then there's a problem.
Poor CeCe. But the Giants, despite losing four straight after winning five in a row, are now 7-5 and still control their playoff destiny. They're 7-5. They beat the Cowboys, who are 8-4 and lead the division, and are the four seed in the NFC right now. So the Giants hold all tiebreakers against the boys. So all they have to do is have the same record when the season's over. The Giants will be the NFC East champions.
Yeah, they need to beat the Eagles, though. I mean, that's the key.
That you took the words right out of my mouth. The win against the Cowboys means absolutely bupkis if you go out and lay an egg against the Eagles this week.
Absolutely.
Okay? I don't care what you did against the Cowboys. I don't care if you beat the Cowboys twice. If you go out there and lay an egg, fire a dud against Donovan McNabb and a very potent Philadelphia Eagle offense where their fullback ran all over the Giants defense at the link, by the way, not their tailback.
Yeah, the 40-17 loss, which was just
the fullback.
Yeah. No, we all saw it.
I still think it was an aberration. And by the way, we got some good news that night when the Yankees beat the Phillies. But you have to beat the Eagles this week. You have to beat the Redskins in Washington next week. Redskins are playing better.
Yes, they are.
Okay? That's not going to be a pushover. Redskins are not going to lay down. And I guarantee you, if the Redskins have a chance to play spoilers against the Giants, they're going to do everything they can to beat the Giants.
I think the one thing the Giants have going for them right now is that the loss the Vikings had to the Cardinals actually helped the Giants. Because, look, if they can get past the Eagles and the Redskins and they have a game against a weak Panthers team, that team is garbage.
It's terrible.
They're garbage. They lucked out in beating Tampa Bay.
All right, so
the at Minnesota the last week could mean everything,
right.
And And at that point,
Minnesota could have a seed and not have
the number two, and that's
all right,
it.
So let's look at the entire NFC playoff picture before we get to the Jets. So I told you the Saints clinch a bye with a win this week. They can clinch the one seed, but it's too convoluted. Too many teams have to lose, and it's too much to get into.
Right.
The Vikings clinch a playoff berth with a win. They play Cincinnati. They're currently the two seed.
Right. I think that's how it's going to end up.
The Cardinals, I don't see it happening any other way. The Cardinals are three. Okay. This week, they're at the 49ers. Following week, they're at Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Following week, they're home against the Rams.
Yeah.
And then the last week, they're home against the Packers, which could still mean something to Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Who are the sixth seed right now. So since we talked about Green Bay, who are the sixth seed, let's go to them. The Packers, at the Bears, at the Steelers, Seahawks, and then at the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty favorable schedule to them.
Not a cakewalk, though, at Chicago. You're still playing at Chicago. The Bears, you know, stink this year, but you're still playing in that stadium.
But you know what? The Packers are playing at such a high level.
They are. They're playing a lot better. And the defense is you know, Ravens who?
I mean, you could just see how this is shaking out. The rest of the NFC has just really just fallen off the map. The Falcons stink. And you know what? You could absolutely see, you know, the playoffs coming down to this, Chris. The bottom seeds, 1, 2, and 3, I think, are locked up.
Mm-hmm.
But 4, 5, 6, and then the one team on the outside looking in is going to be three NFC teams and the Packers. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and Packers fighting for three of the four teams are going to make.
The Cowboys have the hardest schedule out of all these teams, in my estimation. They are home against the Chargers this week. Then they go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Then they go at Washington. And then they finish up with the Eagles. That's four tough games.
It's tough games.
Four tough games. And let's not forget, in Washington, they'll be wearing their Jinx jerseys. Those nasty blue ones that you hardly ever see. Which I don't understand why the Giants don't make them wear. Whatever. It's silly anyway. The Eagles, let's just wrap up the NFC really quick. The Eagles are the last schedule. Well, actually, the Falcons, too, are still in the hunt but stink. The Eagles have the Giants this week, of course. Then they're home against the Niners and Broncos and then at the Cowboys.
That's a tough schedule.
That's a tough schedule, too, because Mike Singletary's team is not going to lay down. The Broncos are a very tough defensive team. And then they have to go to Dallas to take on
the Broncos Cowboys. Are still fighting for their playoff lives.
Absolutely.
Right now. So,
and we'll get to them in a second. The Falcons, who are sit at 6-6 and are just injured all over the place, have the Saints at the Jets, Bills at the Bucks. Not really a tough schedule besides the Saints.
They're going to end up 8-8. But that's just where I see.
But it's a tough situation for them right now with their injuries. Now going to the Jets. Now we brought this up last week, and I said the Jets are going to win. They're going to beat. Excuse me, they were going to win their game last week. And they were going to give every Jet fan out there a little hope that the playoffs would be around the corner. And take a look at the next two games. They're at Tampa this week, which is a very, very winnable game. Then they have Atlanta at home. Atlanta's banged up beyond all recognition. They could win that game too. So the Jets could stand at 8-6 after the next 2 weeks. The Colts, listen, if the Colts lose one of their games to Denver or Jacksonville and the undefeated season is over, they have nothing to play for.
How about the fact that the Colts have always stood by the fact that they don't really think they have anything to play for if they are undefeated?
Right.
If they're undefeated and they've already clinched everything, which
Peyton
could
Manning
happen this week.
He will not play. He will not
play. And Jim Sorgi is hurt, so I didn't even know they had a backup in Indianapolis.
Yeah. But the Jets' chance to make the playoffs, even though Miami and Jacksonville both own head-to-head victories over the Jets, is still very viable.
I mean, the Jets, theoretically, should win three of the last four games because the Bengals in that final week are going to have nothing to play for.
No. The Bengals are going to be happy they're just in the playoffs, for crying out loud.
So, I mean, they could be, conceivably, they should be 9-7. They should be.
They should be 9-7, and they should be in the mix to the end.
Yes.
Now, let's go through everything here really quick, Joe. The Colts play Denver this week. They clinch home field with a win.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Wrap it up. They have the one seed with the win.
This just in, by the way. On Twitter,
as Joey keeps
Mark
us up
Sanchez
to date.
Is out this week. Rex just named Kellen Clemens the starter.
Okay, so there you go. Kellen Clemens will start in Tampa this week, which I really don't,
I don't think
should
it's
matter.
Their
run defense is awful, and I predict Thomas Jones to have a huge week.
Yeah.
For all you fantasy lovers down in Tampa Bay. Thank you for that update, by the way, Joe.
You got it.
The Colts have Denver, Jacksonville, Jets, Buffalo left. The Chargers are the two seed. The Chargers have won 7 straight. They were 2-3. They're now 9-3. They seem to do this every season. They have, they're at Dallas, Cincinnati, at Tennessee, and then Washington at home.
Man. And you know what? They're catching Dallas at the right time. They might catch Cincinnati at the right time because the Steelers, they have the Bengals have that division.
The Bengals,
oh my God.
At 9-3, they clinched the North with a win, and they play at Minnesota.
I mean, this Charger team could be 12-4 very easily.
Yeah, yeah. But the Bengals clinched the AFC North with a win. They already beat the Steelers twice, so I mean, to me, it's just academic.
You know, the Colts are very good. The Chargers are a team they have to worry about.
Yeah,
they have to.
Absolutely. But the Bengals at Minnesota, at San Diego, Chiefs at the Jets. That's not a powder puff schedule either. The Patriots are the current 4 seed with a 7-5 record because they're the AFC East leading team right now. They have a very easy schedule. Carolina at Foxborough, at Buffalo, Jacksonville, and at Houston. The Broncos are the 5 seed with an 8-4 record, which drives me absolutely nuts. They have a better record than the Patriots, and if the season ended today, they'd be playing a road game in New England against the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Broncos have they're in Indianapolis this week, of course. Then they have the Raiders at home, mm-hmm. at Philadelphia, and they wrap things up with Kansas City.
Theoretically, they should be 10-6.
Yes. After starting 6-0 and losing 4 in a row, that's very favorable for a first-year coach in Josh McDaniel. And the Jaguars round out the AFC playoff picture right now. They are 7-5. They have the Dolphins, the Colts, the Pats,
and
the
Browns. That's a tough schedule.
That is a tough, and they're at New England. So if the Jaguars get into the playoffs, now that schedule, if you're a Jet fan, you look at the rest of the way for the Jaguars, that has to get you a little excited.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. You're the Ravens, Dolphins, Jets, and Steelers. You have to be saying, oh, baby.
You gotta look at Cleveland, too, as being a tough game. That's their last game of the season. Guys are playing for jobs, maybe playing to stay on that team.
Mangini might be playing for a job.
I think he's done. There's no saving that guy. As I said on one of my timeouts the other day during Mike Francesa, if Tony Soprano saw him at Vesuvio now, I wonder what he would call him. Wouldn't be Mangenius, that's for sure. All right, so in the hunt, we know the Jets are there.
Look over there, man, genius.
We know the Jets are there in the hunt. We know the Dolphins are as well, and the Dolphins swept the Jets this season. They're both at 6-6. The Ravens are 6-6 as well. We'll start with Baltimore, their remaining schedule. Lions and Bears at home, Steelers, Raiders on the road. The Dolphins have the Jaguars and Titans on the road, and the Texans and Steelers at home. The Jets are at Tampa this week, Atlanta at Indianapolis, which could or could not be an important game for the Colts, and the Bengals. Now, the Colts lock up the one seed, as I said, with a win over Denver this week. So if the Colts beat the Broncos, the Jets are in business in that game because I really don't think Peyton Manning sees the field, unless they're really pushing to go undefeated, which I don't think they are. The Steelers are 6-6, the defending Super Bowl champions. They're at Cleveland, which I think, you know, not for nothing, but I think they pulverized the Browns this week. I just think it's not even a game.
You would hope. I mean, after Tomlin said he was going to unleash fury.
Yeah, I just think it's not even a game. Then they have the Packers and Ravens at home. Then they finish up the season at Miami. The Titans and Texans are long shots. They're both at 5-7. The Titans, who started out 0-6, by the way, so they get A for effort here. Vince Young turning that team around. Chris Johnson, if he averages 174.1 yards a game, I know it's impossible to think that, But the guy's been a beast all season. If he does that, he will break Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record of 2,105 yards. So that's something to think about there. The Titans have the Rams. Think about the defenses he's going up against, too. The Rams, the Dolphins, the Chargers, and the Seahawks.
Wow.
They're at Seattle that last game. So that could be a slick surface out in Seattle. You know, Seattle's not that good this time of year.
No, they aren't.
The Texans have the Seahawks. Then they're at the Rams, at the Dolphins.
It's really too bad.
And then they finish up with the Patriots.
It's really too bad about the Titans, though, going back to them. Because, really, I mean, starting out 0-6 and then winning 5 in a row and losing last week to the Colts, it was really a good story. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. But it's really a good story for Jeff Fisher, Bud Adams.
Vince Young. Good for Vince Young. You know, he sat on the bench, you watched Kerry Collins, and now he's reaping the benefits.
I mean, if you're a Titans fan, it's got to make you feel good that Absolutely. Next year you come back. Vince Young is finally mature. He's a team leader. And maybe he needed to sit on the bench those couple years that year.
And he was going through some, you know, emotional problems and some depression. And
he's back.
You know, people don't understand that unless you have someone that's close to you that's been through it or you've been through it yourself. You don't understand it. It is real. It does happen. And when it does happen, you know, you have to get yourself right. And Vince Young is definitely on the right track there. And that's our football discussion. When we come back, we'll have a bonus segment. Very quick, we'll talk about Tiger and the show on MTV that's driving me absolutely nuts, Jersey Shore. Joe and I are back right after this.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
And now, back to a bald host that doesn't get any respect, Chris Sheehan.
Welcome back. Just like overtime in basketball, it's bonus basketball.
Bonus cantos.
It's bonus off the wall. What is that from? You're killing me now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, bonus baseball.
Oh, all right. Whatever. But really quick, Tiger Woods, we got to, you know, I didn't want to lead with it, and this is why, because I don't think it should lead anything. I still think this is between him and his wife. I know who he is and why it's, you know, on every freaking Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight and Inside Edition.
It's pretty wild, though.
Listen, this is my take, and you could, you know, take me to task or whatever. He is the most powerful athlete on the planet, Earth. The whole sphere that's spinning around right now. Okay?
Earth, exactly.
Earth. If you had any doubt that this guy wasn't out at clubs with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and partying and drinking and doing this and doing that and wasn't being approached by women. And listen, ladies, yes, I'm talking to you. Look at your men, okay? Because we think about it. Some of us may not act on it, but we think about it. This guy can act on it. He's got the coin. He's got the star power, and the ladies line up for him. It's like a conga line for this guy.
But that's the problem in my eyes, Chris, is that, yeah, he shouldn't be doing it because he's got the coin, and he's got a wife, and he's got kids.
I'm not saying what he did was right.
No. I understand. I'm just saying that he should be more responsible and say, the wife is going to take me for everything I have.
Hey, you know what? It's her right.
I just don't get why these guys just don't take the lead of Derek Jeter. I will say it over and over and over again. Derek Jeter is the smartest athlete on the planet.
And, you know, I was listening to Opie and Anthony, and they had a guest on, and it was an interesting take. And it's out there now that golfers are the worst when it comes to infidelity. The worst.
Yeah.
And Tiger basically outed them, which makes everyone now hate Tiger Woods even more than they hated him before. Because now all these golfers' wives are looking at their golfer husbands saying, oh, where are you going tonight?
Exactly.
But anyway, one more thing before we go.
Jersey Shore.
I'm telling you right now.
It's really awful.
MTV is smart, though. You know, they pick Seaside Heights, which, as you know, Joe and I are from New Jersey. What is Seaside called?
Sleaside Heights.
Thank you. Seaside Heights, when I was a child, I was born in 1973, so let's say late.
I'll put it to you this
late
way.
Late 70s, early 80s. Just let me finish my thought. Late 70s, early 80s. The place to go for families was the Seaside Boardwalk. That's where my parents took me all the time. Can't go there now as a family.
It started to become really bad when I was a kid.
Can't go there now.
I mean, it's been like this for almost 20 years now, Chris. Seaside. And they picked the right short point. They really did.
And the people that have this stereotype on New Jersey as guys who spike their hair and go to the gym 23 out of the 24 hours during the day.
There are a lot of them. I'm just saying.
There are, but not all of them are from New Jersey.
Right. Well, I mean, just look at the show. The cast isn't even from New Jersey.
There's one person on that show from New Jersey, and it's a girl. All the guys are from New York, and mainly from the island in New York. Not long.
Yeah, I mean, one's from the Bronx, one's from Staten Island, one's from Rhode Island.
It gets me so angry because the stereotype put on New Jersey people when they say they're from Jersey is exactly how these people are acting on the show. And being from New Jersey and hearing the way I talk and hearing the way Joe talks, you know that all of us are not like that. And now you know, thanks to MTV, every single person on that show down the shore, not from New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what kills me too, Chris, is the fact that they didn't pick Manasquan to go to a shore point.
Not Manasquan.
They didn't pick,
not
Spring
OBI,
Lake.
Not Spring Lake.
Lavalette.
Not Cape May.
Brielle.
Not Lavalette. Not Brielle. They picked Seaside. Listen. If you want to take your family someplace to go down the shore in New Jersey, and it's great, okay?
Well, I mean, my parents live in Long Branch.
There you go. There's a place we didn't mention. You can go to Long Branch. You can go to LBI. You can go to Cape May, which is beautiful.
Below the Mason-Dixon line, though. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
It's the only part of New Jersey that's below the Mason-Dixon line.
I did not know that.
Just thought I'd throw it out
but
there.
But there's plenty of places to go down the shore and not have to deal with the nonsense that you'd have to deal with at places like Seaside. You can give us a call at 646-487-3668, or you could email us once again at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. For Joe Auriemma, the godfather of yesnetwork.com.
It's good to see you again, Chris.
It's good to be seen, Joe. Oh, yeah. I am Chris Sheeran. We will see you next week for a brand new Off the Wall podcast. Something we didn't mention as we go off. The Nets have 2 wins and could get a third.
Kiki, baby. It's all about Kiki.
It's all about Kiki, and hopefully it'll be all about Kiki when we talk next week as well. We'll see you next week, everybody. Here's to some more Yankee moves and some more net wins. See you next week on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Just by the way you live a life.